Living in North America is a moving experience. You may not notice it all the time, but the giant tectonic plates we live on the go. Coming soon to the Yukon and Alaska is a research project that will help our understanding of the geophysical forces at work in our part of the continent. Robert Busby is a transportable array manager with U.S. Array, the organization doing the research. Joins me in the studio. Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
So what is U.S. Array?
Well, U.S. Array is a part of a large project that the National Science Foundation from the U.S. government sponsored to study the structure of the North American continent, and did this by planning a large observatory of seismic sensors that record earthquake monitoring and move these sensors completely across the continent, starting from the West Coast in the U.S. and proceeding over a span of 10 years to the East Coast. And this builds up an image of the structure underneath the continent to understand how tectonics work and what drives faults, what forms the geology of the continent.
And where is it at right now in terms of its development and its measuring?
So the project is about a $200 million project. It started in 2004, and it's in the 11th year. So it's just finishing its migration from the West Coast to the East Coast. So where there's now about 150 stations that are still on the East Coast of the U.S., from South Carolina up through Ontario and Quebec, with about 50 stations in that region. And it's just completing this traverse of the lower 48, and we've begun installing a few stations in the Alaska and Yukon region. That's our next target for the next 4 years.
Is it mostly places with a lot of tectonic activity, or are you looking at, you know, measuring different areas against each other?
So we study both, and the whole idea is to have stations uniformly spaced so we can see both the gaps in seismicity as well as where the seismicity occurs. And we try to determine where earthquakes occur, or even very small ones, where they haven't been observed before, to just check whether there's any seismicity missing out of areas that people haven't looked at before, and also to figure out why are certain areas quiet and have no seismicity.
Mm-hmm. And does this work with, are you working like measuring off of each of these stations against each other? Or are we, you know, employing satellites or stars? You know, you talk about measuring things against the heavens, for instance. How does it work when you measure?
So each of our stations is a ground motion sensor, so it just very carefully measures the vibration of the ground at that particular spot. And we infer signals that travel between the stations. So these stations can be formed by an earthquake, which generates a source of vibration, and that propagates across. And as it travels between stations, we can sort of time, well, when did this signal arrive here? When did it arrive there? And then we can project back where the earthquake was or what kind of earthquake it was. So the sensor itself is only measuring ground motion in that particular place. But we get a lot of information out of that motion. The motion could be caused by earthquakes, or it could be caused by air pressure signals, or it could be caused by human-induced explosions or things like that.
You hear a lot of controversy over things like fracking, and I don't know where that's at, but you know, people in the lower 48 at least say that there have been some earthquakes caused because of all this, these chemicals being, well, under huge pressure pumped into the ground. Is that something that you've looked at as well?
Yes, our instruments are used for all sorts of purposes. Originally, the project didn't anticipate any kind of induced seismicity or fracking studies, but because it is quite accurate in determining rates of earthquake production, sizes of small earthquakes, it has contributed to the understanding of when do small earthquakes occur and are they related to wastewater injection or fracking. And so we have actually quite a few papers on the study of fracking and induced seismicity with our instruments. So it adds information to that debate, mostly about what levels of stress there are in the earth and how this activity might produce smaller quakes, and how those fractures propagate and may lead to water migration in the subsurface.
Now you're looking, as you say, you're putting in measuring stations in the Yukon and Alaska. Is there a big gap there right now for information?
Well, the station monitoring that's there now in Alaska is fairly good, but it's centered directly over where most of the earthquakes occur. That's in the subduction zone and a big diving slab underneath the Gulf of Alaska. And so many of the stations are there because lots of earthquakes are there. But in the northern part of Alaska, there are very few stations, and it's not well understood what some of the tectonic regimes are in those regions, what causes earthquakes, and even where smaller quake pockets might be, but no one has been there yet with an instrument to determine their size and number of earthquakes that might occur. So in the south of Alaska, it's got quite a few monitoring stations, but in the north, not so many. In the Yukon, there's a very sparse coverage, which is managed by the Canadian Hazard Information Service out of Ottawa. They operate about four or five stations in Dawson City, Whitehorse, Inuvik, and a couple of others, Haines Junction. But these are quite sparse for and detect earthquakes that are larger than 4.5 or so quite reliably. But smaller earthquakes and the nature of those are less well studied. They did add some stations after the Denali earthquake in 2010, I believe, six or so stations along the Alaska Highway pretty much, that add some detail in the seismicity there.
So this will give you a better picture once you get these stations into the Yukon?
Yep, it will be a much more uniform picture, much more unbiased by where you think the earthquakes might be. It's kind of a uniform coverage, and we use that to try to even out our modeling and understand what the structure is.
And when will these be up and running?
It will take us a couple of years. We plan to put in a few this summer, mostly along the Dempster Highway and down around Atlin and Teslin. But then in the following summer, we'll add a few more, 10 or 12 more in the south. And then the following, in 2017, in summer, we'll work in the north of Yukon, another 10 or 12 stations. Overall, there's about 35 new stations that would be added. So that's nearly an order of magnitude increase, or a factor of 10 in the number of stations.
And I understand all this data is public and will be available in real time on the web?
Yep. Our organization is a cooperation of universities. So we operate the stations. The data comes out of the station directly and flows into a university data distribution center that's managed out of Seattle, Washington. But anyone can download the data, and you can see web views of the activity at a particular station if you want. And all the data is open and publicly available to different colleges or the public itself.
So if I was to go on there today, what would I see, for instance?
Well, there are some views which try to show you what's happened that day at that particular place. There are other views which look at a particular earthquake and show how that earthquake signals propagated across the whole array itself. We make some sort of public interest displays which show actually movies of the ground motion propagating across the continent and across the array. And it demonstrates the sort of size of the waves, how fast they move. So those are useful just for a conceptual thing, and people get some scientific insight out of those as well.
Hmm. So in the end, why is all this so important? What are we going to learn from it? Is it going to save lives or infrastructure in the future?
So the project does address how earthquakes occur, what causes them, And it contributes to the understanding of particularly large earthquakes, subduction zone earthquakes, which can be generate tsunamis and contribute to volcano hazard and so on. So the purpose of the project is to really get at the understanding of plate tectonics, how it applies stresses to faults, and then how those faults react to those tectonic stresses. So we can see the motion of the plates, we can see the structure in the upper mantle as a result of these tectonic motions. And then there are other aspects where we can look at it when a big earthquake occurs anywhere in the world. We use this big array in the same fashion that the radio astronomers look back at a Big Bang or something like that. We look back to see how the earthquake erupted and where it moved around on the fault. And this allows us to better understand how big earthquakes rupture, what sort of hazard they are for tsunamis and what kind of different types of motion that might occur that might reduce the hazard, such as small slips that occur before or after the big earthquake and may reduce overall the frequency of very large earthquakes. So we're trying to understand, you know, this hazard from a bunch of different points of view.
Wow, interesting. Well, thanks a lot for telling me about it.
You bet. Appreciate your interest in the project.